Good morning, all you beautiful people.
Good morning.
Yeah, see, y'all responded to that. You're like, that's me. I'm beautiful. Awesome. Hey, the video is really just encouraging all of us to get involved in a small group, or we call them life groups, because as our church continues to grow, you've got to build friendships, relationships with other people so they can encourage you. And so just want to encourage you to jump in a group. They are all starting this month. And so you can begin by going to our website. You can sign up on our website. You can go to our app and sign up. You can go out in the lobby after service and sign up. We just, every way we can to help you get involved, that would be great. So that's what's going on there. Amen to that?
Amen.
Awesome, awesome. Hey, we are in a series called Vision 2020. And today we are working through what we are calling Prophetic Sunday. So I have some amazing people here to help prophesy for us. And so in a few minutes, I'll let them share some things. And so just excited about that. Before we jump into that, though, I want to encourage you to continue with our 21 days of prayer. And so we have a book. If you were not here last week, we have a prayer devotional book for you to pick up. You can go by our Welcome Center on the way out and pick that up. And you can join us. We finished day 7 this morning, and so tomorrow is day 8, and so you can just jump in right with us and begin to pray for the next 14 days, and so you'll be part of the 21 days. It'll be awesome. I tell you, in my prayer times, reading that devotion, I'm learning so much. It's drawing me into a desire to pray more and more. I just believe that as we pray, we're going to see God do great things, not only in my life, but in our church. It's going to be great. So love it, love it, love it. So awesome. Before I give them the mic to start chatting with us about the prophetic things going on, I want to kind of set it up with a few ideas about prophecy in the local church. And so first question is what is prophecy? So on the screen you can see it's prophecy is a God-initiated word. And let me just park there for just a moment. God-initiated. So a prophetic word is when God puts something in your heart, or we would say in our spirit. God speaks to us, and then we say what God is saying. It's a God-initiated word. It's a word that we feel that God is speaking that is current in our life and for the future at times. And so it's a God-initiated word of encouragement that strengthens faith, gives hope and comfort. A prophecy can apply to a current situation or sometimes things in the future. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 3, it says, one who prophesies. So for a person, this is part of the gifts of the Spirit. And it says, the one that prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. And so every prophetic word should be encouraging. It should strengthen you, and it should bring comfort. And so with that in mind, let me just say to you that sometimes God will bring prophetic words into your life. Someone will share that to you. And when they do, it's extremely encouraging. It should build your life, build your faith, build your hope for the future. And if someone ever gives you a prophetic word that is discouraging, if someone ever gives you a prophetic word that puts a little fear in your heart, you need to politely say, oh, that's not for me. Thank you. God bless you. And just say, I'm not going to let that seed get in my heart and just not take that. Amen? So it's real easy. Prophecy also is never the entire picture. We are not in a place where God is having us rewrite Scripture. So prophecy is never going to contradict Scripture. It's never going to add to Scripture. It will always just be in line with Scripture. And we are only able to prophesy in part. It's somewhat of a shadow for us. We're humans and we don't get just everything God wants to say to us. I so wish sometimes God would speak and tell me everything that was going to come this year. I wish God would say, hey, on January the 30th, this is going to happen. Be ready. I wish he'd say, in May of this year, you're going to see your husband, and he's going to have, hair combed to the side, and you're going to go, oh, yeah, God said that. I got it. I wish he did that, but he gives us, somewhat in part. And so that's what it says in 1 Corinthians 13. It says, our knowledge is partial and incomplete. Even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. Now, because it's only part, that doesn't diminish the value and the need for prophetic words in our church and in our life. We just need discernment and wisdom as we move forward with that. I believe prophecy is very important for a local church. I think it's very important. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint." Where there's no prophetic vision. So we're in a series called Vision 2020. We need prophetic vision. We need to know what God is speaking so we know how to run the race that God has for us. Prophetic vision is a God-prompted vision. And God is speaking. He's speaking to our church. He has direction for us. He has some unique things He wants us to go after in 2020. And so we need that prophetic vision of God to speak to us. Without prophetic vision, we may pursue good things but miss the God things He wants us to do. And so we need the prophetic vision. When it talks about casting off restraint, what restraint means is as we get vision, it gives us focus. So restraint isn't like saying you don't get to do something. It's like the we'll call it the banks of a river get tighter to create more pressure so the river flows faster. If you were to see a river that had very wide banks, the river would flow slow. It would kind of meander along, maybe not have as much power to it. As the banks of a river comes tighter, the river picks up speed, it picks up its power, and it gushes forth. Restraint is about bringing in the boundaries so we have a clear focus of what God wants His church to do. So we want to bring in the banks so we can hear what God wants us to do. So we need clear vision from the Lord. Ephesians 2:20 says this, "Together we are His house," speaking of a local church. "We are built on the foundations of apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself." Of course, Jesus is always the head of the church. But the church is built on two gifts, it says, the apostles and the prophets. Apostles bring foundational strength to a church. They bring stability to a church. Apostles always set and put guardrails so the church doesn't go into error. Prophets provide ongoing vision for the church so that we can see beyond where we are now to see what God wants to say to us about the future. About 4 to 5 years ago, our leadership team, we were in a meeting with Pastor Frank Harvey. Pastor Frank Harvey is one of the overseers in our church. He has been mine and Harriet's pastor for 30 plus years. And he was with our leadership team, and he said to us in this meeting, he said, "I feel like the Lord is saying to me that you will not be in the mall." Our church was currently meeting in the mall. He said, "You're not going to be here a long time, and God is going to move you to a new land." And so due to his credibility and the fact that he is an overseer in our church and we trust his words, we took that word, we began to think and pray about what does that mean to us. Out of that, we began to shop for property. We found land that God had for us. We bought the land. We paid for the land. And we did not know that when Pastor Frank was prophesying to us that God was going to move us to a new land, he was picking up on the fact that the mall was going to be sold and redeveloped, and they were going to ask us to not meet there any longer. I'm so glad we had a prophetic word, though, began to prepare us for those things that were to come. And so just I love that how prophetic words work that way. Just so you'll know, Pastor Frank Harvey will be right here in 3 weeks preaching. And so you want to be here to hear him speak. He's an amazing man of God. Go ahead and give that a clap. It's awesome. I love it. So we need to hear God's word to us prophetically so we know what to do. And so let me just kind of state this about apostles and prophets. I believe our church, or any church that fails to honor the prophetic voice, will get stuck in old wineskins and old patterns. We would lead from yesterday's victories. We would celebrate the good old days. We would get stuck in the past. We would become safe, stable, and comfortable, yet stale and dying without ongoing prophetic vision for the church. But churches like ours that involve both the apostolic leadership and the prophetic leadership will honor the past but prepare for the future. We will need more flexibility to adjust to God's ongoing move and direction. We will involve the next generation because we are visioning beyond our current place. We need to be open for God to lead us into places that require faith, stretching, risking, and occasional failure. And I say that because anytime you're pursuing the prophetic vision, and we see in part. Sometimes we go, ah, that didn't work. But because we trust God, and I think it's better to err on the side of stepping into prophetic vision than to never try anything at all, sometimes we'll have a few moments where we have to step back. Apostolic and prophetic churches are both stable and risk-taking at the same time. Prophetic churches are optimistic about the future and are full of enthusiastic people who desire to be part of a growing, visionary, and purposeful church. Amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. So we want to be enthusiastic about the Word of God. And so as these people share their words, I want you to be enthusiastic about it. One of the ways that you receive a word from God is by how you respond to the Word of God. And so you can say yes and amen and give it a clap and go, that's for me, and shout it out a little bit and have a little fun with us. That would be great. So when they share a word, just go, oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's me right there. So first, Gina Lindbert. Gina is the executive pastor at our church. She helps run everything we do, does an amazing job in our leadership over our ministries. And so, Gina, you got a word for us?
I do. So when I ask the Lord for a word, generally He will just give me a vision, some kind of an imagery. And in this case, He did just that. So He showed me this hourglass, sort of sitting on the world, if you will, but it was really plush and beautiful, really just something to behold. The grass was green and there were flowers and there was just a lot of color. The only thing unique about this, other than it was a giant hourglass, would be that the sand was moving up instead of down. And so here's what He shared with me. He said, flip the hourglass and rise. A typical hourglass, sand moves down in the earthly. We all know that. And God showed me the hourglass with the sand moving up, defying gravity and reality, time and space. It is moving up, our eyes fixed on Jesus, rising, standing, looking toward Him. The hourglass represents time. He is saying, even though we do have a limited, finite time here on earth, while living in the confines of earthly time, He wants us to operate in heavenly time. This is your time. The tears that have been shed, the prayers that have been prayed, this is the time the Lord is flipping the hourglass, the time for us to rise. He is turning weeping to joy, loss to increase, pain to hope, hurt to healing, fear to faith, and anger to love. God is flipping the earthly to the heavenly. The number 2020, we're in the year 20 now, biblically means completion or completeness. So this is the year of more. Higher measure, more healings, financial freedom, addictions broken, lives changed, hearts transformed, and greater revelation. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. This is your year for the things that have not fallen into place. Those dreams left on the shelf, those things that feel too far away. Yes, this is your year, your time for them to find their home. The turnaround of what was. Create, grow, build, change. This is your time to wake up, rise up, look up. You are here with purpose in this time and in this moment. God is doing His work in you, in the church, in the hearts of His people, to bring them to wholeness and healing, reminding us who we are. This is your time. This is my time. This is the church's time to rise, to complete those things that God has knit inside each of us. Don't give up. Philippians 1:6, being confident in this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So in 2020, let's believe in God's complete healing, His complete word, His complete joy and hope and faith and love. Let's flip the hourglass, rise and look up, knowing that all we do is for heaven, sharing His word, caring for others, speaking love, acts of kindness, following the dreams He has put in our heart, believing that He is faithful. Yeah. This is our time So let's rise.
Come on, yes. Woo. I love that. This is our time. That's like a pre-game, you know, pep rally right there. Like, come on, people, this is our time. Do you feel like it's your time? Do you feel like it's your season? Do you feel like God's going to complete some things that we're still in process? Boy, I do. Amen to that. Amen. So Harriet is next, my bride, my love of my life. Harriet leads Sisterhood Ministries. And ladies, if you have not been to Sisterhood, you need to go to Sisterhood Tuesday mornings at 10 o'clock and Tuesday evenings at 7 o'clock. And it is amazing. So, Harriet, if you want to hear some great fiery preaching, she's the one. She's the one. She brings the heat. So she also has a real prophetic edge to her. And so God's got a word that she wants to share through us.
Yeah, I felt like Tim had talked about this morning a couple of months ago, and I just began to pray and just say, you know, Lord, what is it that you're saying about this new era that we are actually living in? And I felt like that the Lord said, remind the people to not think in just 12-month segments, but to begin to think in segments of decades. Begin to look out over the course of a decade, not just what's going to happen in the next 12 months, but God, what are you doing in my life in the next decade? What is actually coming? And I feel like the Lord said there is a reward and a life full of blessings for staying on course. And that is a word sometimes that we don't like, obedience. You have to be obedient in order to stay on course. But He wants us to stay on course for the long haul. And God is asking us to give Him the next 10 years of our lives and to see what He will build through us. Not only are your best days still ahead of you, but I felt like God said to tell you that your finest days are still yet ahead of you. They're still there. God wants to establish your life. I also feel like God wanted me to remind some of us of the dreams that were once in your heart. And I felt the timing specifically of 11 years ago. There are some dreams that some of you had in your heart 11 years ago, and they have never yet come to pass. And during that time, the dreams have become less and less on fire. There may be just a little smoldering ember, but in your mind, you thought that they died. But God says they're not dead, they're just dormant. They're just dormant. So as you remember them again, as you pull those back up in your spirit man and your spirit woman, and you look to them again, that remembrance will cause faith to come alive and to spring back to life inside of those dreams. And I just felt like God said He wants us to cooperate with Him in that. Cooperate. And there's something about the 11 years, and I feel like God said to dream again. And then I heard Him say, I want you to move the goalpost. Some of you are living lives that are way too small. Way too small. Your touchdown is in 5 yards, and God said, I want you to go all 100 yards. I want you to move the goalpost. I want your life to count for something other than just you, your four, and no more. I want it to be bigger than that. God wants to move us to move the goalpost so that we can see what only He can do in our lives. What only He can do. Playing it safe and practical is not always His will. And sometimes He likes to leave us just astonished with what it is that He can do for us, His love for us, and His plan for us. So the victory is sweeter, He says, when the goal is further away. I want to kind of revisit the first part about, you know, looking not just at a year, but looking at the decade. And I want you to take a look at your failures. I want you to really look at your failures, at the things that have been really painful. Some of us have had some massively painful failures. Some of you have experienced the most massive failures of your life in this last decade. And it is very painful. And you know from experience that your failures don't just touch your life, they touch other people's lives and those all around you. But God isn't finished with you. He is not finished with your life, with your destiny, and with your purpose. And He wants you to bring those failures to Him and watch Him create the best comeback story in your history. He wants that. No more setbacks. No more setbacks. He wants your comeback to be greater than your failures. He does. And last, I felt a nudge to remind you of Psalm 92:13 that says that the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. And the cedars of Lebanon are some of the strongest trees that fill the earth. Strength. Strength comes from this. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. If you want a life that is flourishing and strong, then you must make time, capacity, energy to be in the house of God. You have to. It's in the Word of God. That is where strength comes from, and it's where a flourishing life comes from. And I am so thankful that all those years ago, our pastor and his wife Shirley told us that. They said, if you want a life that is successful, get planted in the house of the Lord. Be in the house of God. Many of you are very, very close to breakthrough. You're on the edge. You're on the precipice of breakthrough. But the self-discipline just has not been there in your lives up until this point in order to make an effort to be in the house of the Lord. But I'm telling you, this is a promise you can take to the bank. You can test me in this. You start making every effort to be in the house of God, to help build the house of God, and you will see your own life flourishing. You will look back over the 10 years that are coming, and you will go, those are some of the most successful, peaceful, joyful, and healthful years I have ever lived. And that's because you did Psalm 92. The last thing is, I felt like that God said, this is an unprecedented time for women in our history. There has not been another time like this. And we are being given a platform and voice and space in order to speak into the things of the earth. And I want to tell you, women, if we are faithful and if we are obedient to the Lord and obedient to His Word, and we use that responsibly, and we are a good steward of it, God is going to move in such a great way that it's going to transform not just your life, but the life of our church and the life of our city and the life of even our state and nation if we will use that correctly. It's an unprecedented time for women.
So good. Come on. So good. So good. So good. I love that. I do want to let you know that this is being recorded. It will go on our website. You can go back and watch it. Because if you're like me, you're hearing these words and you're thinking, well, that's for me, that's for me, and you want to write it down so you don't lose it. I want you to be able to rest and relax and just receive it. And you can go back and watch it online, and you'll be able to write down the parts that you go, that was all for me. And so many things of what Harriet just said, well, both of you, like, I love these words, and I'm wanting to get them down because God is speaking, and I'm wanting to pull those things into my life and hang on to those things. That whole area of discipline, I'm disciplined about coming to church, but there's a lot of other places I could use a little help, and I was not wanting to receive that part. But, awesome. Pastor Jared. Jared is our worship leader extraordinaire. Jared is one of the only worship pastors you're going to find that leads not from the front as a vocal leader, as one of the worship leaders there, but from drums and just from his overall leadership team. Jared is an amazing musician, but he's got a heart after God, and God speaks to him in everything he says. And if you know Jared, he doesn't say tons of words, but every word matters. And so when he speaks, you probably ought to listen. He has a great prophetic gift, and so look forward to what God has to say.
Up. All right, so diving right in. 2020. So Gina said 20 signified completion. And in Hebrew, it also signifies expectancy. So we've got 2020, and in Hebrew, they go by a different calendar, and that year is 5780. And if you add all those numbers together, it also equals 20. So we've got 2020 on our calendar and then 20 on the Hebrew calendar, which is kind of crazy. So I think the Lord's kind of telling us something. So moving forward, I kind of, for our church, I believe the completion season that we're stepping into is completing out of transition. We've had so much transition, especially the past year and a half. And I think we're moving from transition to establishment.
Good.
And, you know, we take more ground, take more territory and everything like that, and then you establish something new. And I believe this year is going to be just a huge push forward and establishment for us. And just as Harriet said, just that season of 11 years ago, and for some of you it's longer, for some of you it's shorter, but in that time, we've got these dreams, we've got these callings, we've got these promises from God that we believe He spoke to us. And when we go 11 years without seeing that, it's easy to have hope deferred set in, and disappointment and all these things. The enemy tries to bring shame and guilt and make you feel like you messed up and, you know, just kind of lost your promises, so to speak. And the thing is, the devil can't steal those promises from you, but he can beat you down over and over and over and try and make you give up on them. And this year, I believe God is going to fulfill those promises. I believe that He's going to bring opportunity and open doors to you that you've been waiting on and calling out for years. And I believe all that shame and guilt from those years past is going to be wiped away. The time lost is going to be restored. As Gina said, the sand in the hourglass is going to rise and not fall anymore over your promises. And I believe God is stepping in to just bring justice against the enemy for him coming against you and trying to beat you down and steal those promises from you. So, yeah, the main thing is just getting your expectancy level up. And you're going to see God encounter you and bring visitations and bring promises fulfilled like you've never seen, bring breakthrough before like you've never seen before. So get your expectancy level up.
So good, so good, so good. Hey, do me a favor. If you want to just, let me just take, I just want to pray over that real quick. I think we just need to pray and say, God, we want our expectation to increase this year. If that's you, just lift a hand in the air. Father, we ask that you would cause us to have a new expectation. Lord, that we would have a desire, a hunger to see you move, whether it be breakthroughs, new vision for us. Lord, give us a new expectation for what's ahead in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Awesome, awesome. Next is Jody Reif. Jody is the non-staff staff member of our church. I say non-staff just because he doesn't get paid, but he works just like a staff member. He leads Celebrate Recovery for us, one of the most powerful ministries, I think, in our city for helping people through recovery type things. He and his team got a great team. He doesn't do it alone. I recognize that. But Jody has believes God has given him a word, and so I asked him to come be a part of this so he can share that word. Jody, we honor you because you give so much in your volunteer time, and so I just love your heart. And we've been together for 15 years. We were talking about that earlier. 15 years Jody's been at church, and we've been buddies. So God bless you, man. Share what God has.
First up, I'm honored to be here. I am so honored. And thank you. Yeah, Celebrate Recovery has been a great ministry for us, but I've been sharing in our ministry on Monday nights that I believe that the next wave is coming, that I believe that God is preparing that next wave, or that we need to be prepared for the next wave that He is bringing to us. And as I was praying through this and what exactly, you know, to share, how did God want me to share it, He led me to a couple of scriptures, and first one was John 10:10, where He talks about the thief comes but to kill and to steal and destroy. And He says, but Jesus speaking, He says, but I've come that you would have life and have life abundantly. And if you break that word abundantly down in the Greek, what it's saying is overflowing. It's not just enough. It's not barely enough. He's not just a God of barely enough. He wants me to tell you that He is a God of more than enough.
Amen.
And that when it flows over, when he flows over and out of our lives, then he wants us to flow on to other people. It's like walking around with a cup that's all the way full and it's spilling over the top. And as you bump into people throughout our daily life,
good.
Then we can't help but just spill a little bit of Jesus on them.
So good.
And so, but I in Celebrate Recovery, the Lord has blessed us tremendously on Monday night with a lot of folks from without, outside of the body, to be honest. But this wave, he made it very clear to me that the next wave is going to come from within the body. That there is bondage that the enemy has tried to kill and steal and destroy. And while it may not be an addictive behavior, an addiction as far as that, it's another hurt. It's another habit. It's another hang-up. It's something that is robbing us of that freedom. It is something that is, because the water is within the wave. And that is what is, the wave is represented by life. The water is represented by life throughout Bible, throughout the Scripture. And so when we talk about the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy, what I believe that the Lord wanted me to remind us is that, but greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Well, who is us? Us is the body. Us is the body of believers. And the enemy cannot have you, but what he can have is he can have your joy. He can steal your joy. He can steal the life. He can suck the very life right out of us so that we're no longer splashing on those around us. And so he wanted to remind us that greater is he, that he is in us as the body. And that the bondages, he wants to break off bondage. He wants to break off the chains. He wants to break off the failures that have kept us from even trying again.
That's good.
And so I just want to come and share his love. I want to let somebody know here today that it doesn't matter where you are. He loves you. He's crazy in love with you. And that there is freedom and completeness in him, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Share that prophetic word.
So, Pastor Frank, years ago, when I first started coming, I'd been maybe a year or two. We were in Nevada Bob's. We had just moved to Nevada Bob's. And I had never been around a prophetic word. I was not a part of my previous walk. And I can remember the first time Pastor Tim talked about that. I was sitting close to the door, and man, I almost went out the back door. I was like, what are they talking about here? And it just kind of said, but anyway. So I got very comfortable with it the more I got to know Tim and Harriet. And then I remember the very first time I ever met Pastor Frank. And he came in, he met with us on a Saturday night over at Tim and Harriet's house, along with the leadership team at that time. And then he shared on, Then he shared with us on Sunday morning. And he was preaching Sunday morning, and there was maybe 100 of us at that time, 100 or so. And so, but it was easy to see, he's preaching, and I mean, guys, if he's going to be here in 3 weeks, don't miss it. I promise you don't miss it. But he's preaching, and I'm sitting about right there, kind of where I always, right there, even at the other place, I was kind of like right there. And he walks toward me, and he points at me. He stopped his message, like right in the middle of the message. He stops, and he pointed at me, and he said, young man. And I looked around, and I'm like, who is he talking to? But it was 15 years ago almost, so it was younger. He said, young man, he said, God wants me to tell you something. I'd never had this happen. But I knew, he looked at me and he said, God wants me to tell you something. He said, the Lord wants me to tell you, you do my work and I will take care of yours. Today, I remember, can I add one last thing? We were in, one night I was sitting in the other location praying. Nobody had showed up. It was a Monday night. We had just got started. We had been doing it several months. And I was praying, and I was a little bit discouraged. There was a room. I had set up about 10 or 12 chairs. I was like, Lord, I know you told us to do this. Nobody's here. I'm kind of mad. And he let God let me fuss and share. And all of a sudden, I just was on my face at the other place before God. Somebody walked by the mall. They probably thought, oh, my gosh, call an ambulance. I'm laying there on my face. God let me do my complaining. And as I sit up, he says, now that you're done, he says, I want you to pray over those empty chairs. Pray as if they were. Pray as if they were here. And so I got up, wiped my eyes off, went over and began to lay hands on those chairs and pray. Today, we have between 60 and 80 people on Monday night. But more than that.
Great word. So good. I love that God used that prophetic word from Pastor Frank to put in you to actually launch Celebrate Recovery. And so it's amazing. So great. Hey, I just want to add to what they have said with some words I feel like the Lord was speaking to me. And so the first word I want to share to kind of partner with their words are go fish and cast the net. I feel like God was just speaking to me about evangelism and outreach this year and the significance of that. And so go fish and cast the net. A couple years ago, I went out fishing with a guy that goes to our church, and Rennie had taken me out. I don't know if you know Rennie. If you want to go fishing, he does it as a charter and stuff. But he does this beautiful, like, ballerina dance with a casting net, and he spins in about three circles, and he launches that net out, and it lands. It's beautiful. And I took a video of it at one point, and I was like, oh, my gosh, it's amazing. But it just stuck in my mind that there's a beauty to casting the net. And God wants us to cast that net and to reach more people. And that I believe that God is just saying this is a season that He is making available for the church to reach new people. I was poking around kind of like Jared did about the 20s and the 20s. And so I thought I'd be real cute and go look up Genesis, the first, the 20th verse in the Old Testament. And then I thought I'd go find the 20th verse in the New Testament and see how they lined up. So just first, in the Old Testament, the 20th verse, it says, then God said, let the waters swarm with fish. And so I read that, and I was like, yes, that's exactly what God is speaking about. The fish are swarming, easier to catch fish when they're swarming, and it's God's season. And so I loved that, and I was so hyped about that. And so then I went to the 20th verse in the New Testament, and I was real curious how it was going to line up. And so I'm going to just tell you a little funny story on me, if I may. This is really funny. So first service, I did this whole thing, 20th verse in the New Testament. And I read this verse out. Well, it's not the 20th verse in the New Testament. It's actually chapter 4 of the first book of the Bible. And so I'm just going to pretend with you all that this is the 20th verse of the New Testament. It's not. Everybody went home first service so excited about this verse I read, and they're going to go read it in their own time and go, I don't understand. So, because we prophesy in part, right? All right, so just, it's okay. It's okay. I feel total grace on it. This would be great if this were the 20th verse, but it is in Matthew chapter 4, verse 20. All right, so I don't know where I mixed it up. It's awesome. So just to give it a little context, the 19th verse says, come follow me, Jesus said, and I'll make you fishers of men. Wow, that would have been so great. The 20th verse is at once, it says, they left their nets and followed him. And so we're just going to pretend that that's the 20th verse so it'd line up with 2020. But regardless, sometimes God just uses funny ways to get our attention. And I want you to know that we are to cast our nets as a church, and kind of the thought might be that we need to, in some way, leave the mindset of physical nets and go fish for men. And so I believe that's a word for the church, that we would be evangelistic and have a stronger emphasis in outreach. Amen to that? Amen. Amen. Awesome. That would have been so good. In tune with that, I heard a prophetic word from Brian Johnson, who is the worship pastor out at Bethel Church. And when I heard it, I thought, well, I'm using that as one of ours because it aligns with that. And the word was that God will reach the hard cases. meaning the people who have been most resistant to coming into the kingdom of God, that God will begin to reach them this year. And what we're saying is we're believing that God is going to reach the Pauls of the New Testament. And so before Paul became the one that wrote half the New Testament, he persecuted the church. And then he had an encounter with God, and he became a prolific builder of the church. And so it was a dramatic transformation from someone that was against God to for God. And so I just believe that God wants to reach the hard cases like the Pauls. And so with that, I want to say, if you have family or friends that you thought were in that impossible category, to start praying again, because God wants to move on the hard cases. Amen. Come on, clap for that. Another thing I believe the Lord said to me is that chains of addiction need to be broken. And so to partner with what Jody was saying about a process and a way of through Celebrate Recovery, that God wants to bring freedom into our lives, I believe God is highlighting that for us as a church, that we need to increase the ministry of helping people overcome addictive behaviors and patterns in their life. But I felt like the Lord was saying, not just for adults, but for youth as well, that the age that those who are struggling has gone lower and lower, and one of the causes of that has been through our cell phones, that the younger generation is tied to a smartphone and social media and these things. But what happens, and listen, I am so guilty of this, though, but you get a little addicted to a check your phone. You get a little addicted to what's people liking on my social media, and you get addicted to that. It's a gateway. These phones are gateways to addiction, because it triggers an endorphin in you when you're able to check something and check something. And so we've done it so many times that now we've opened the door to needing that stimuli. And so at a young age, we feel that and we have a need for it, and it grows into everything else at that point. And so I felt like the Lord is saying, Jody, that we need to talk about and explore how do we set up a CR type ministry for students and youth. Because they're probably not going to come to Monday night and fit that group, but there's a need that's showing up more and more for that. So, I felt like the Lord said that we need to watch out for a coming trap of the enemy. The enemy has set a trap, and it's a twofold trap called the political spirit. And I feel like with election season coming this year, it can be a huge trap for the church. And trap one is for the church to be silent about biblical, relevant, and sometimes difficult issues that pertain to national politics. Fear would cause the church to be silent when it needs to have a voice. Truth must be spoken. And so I feel like one of the traps is that out of fear we'd say, well, it's election season, everybody's talking about it, and we're just going to back away from it and not step into that. And so that would be a trap for us to lose influence in areas that God wants us to have influence. And so that's the first trap. The second trap is on the other side of the coin. And this would be that when the church elevates politics right and left above the Great Commission of making disciples of all people, Christ died for all. 1 Timothy 2 says that our Savior wants all people to be saved. And so we need to be careful to not step in the trap of making the mission of something greater than what God, or making the mission of you know, speaking truth greater than the mission of reaching people and making disciples. And so it's a trap that could be on either side of that. I want you to know we will step fully into the middle of all the topics and we'll talk about them, but we won't lose focus that we're trying to reach all people in our city at all times. Amen, church? I believe God was showing to me something kind of unique, and I don't even know how it really applies, but I'll just put it out there. I believe God is showing me that in our nation, we're going to see churches merging together, that He's going to merge churches, not because of things that are failing, but that at times through the unified church, they can do greater things together. And so just kind of look, and when you see churches merging, you go, well, our pastor said it may happen. And then another thing I believe the Lord was speaking to me is that I am to prophesy in a declaration way. And I'll just kind of throw it out there, but I feel like the Lord told me to prophesy 1,000 people attending Life Church. And currently we sit between 600 and 650 people on Sunday. And I believe that by God's grace and kind of our unified declaration that God is speaking to us about growth to those types of capacities. And the reason is every person matters to God, therefore every person matters to us. And so it's not that we don't appreciate the 600 that are here. We love every person here. But I believe God says, expand your vision, look further, never stop at where you are, or you'll get stale and stagnant. No pond can stay the same size and stay healthy, and so healthy things grow. And so, just declaring it, I remember 11 years ago, it hit me when you said that. I don't know how we're doing on time. We're a little tight. 11 years ago, we had just moved into the mall, 11 years ago, and we had our season of greatest growth. We doubled in a weekend when we moved into the mall. We went from about 150, 200 people to a little over 400 people in one weekend. And it was amazing. We're like, boom, double. And so I've been kind of sitting on that double word. And then when you said 11, I was like, oh, double, double. I like it. So maybe this year is a year of double, which would be fantastic. But when we were in the mall, we opened an account online for something. I remember I did. And I felt like the Lord put in my heart 1,000 people back in that day, because we went to 400. And so God said, what's your next, you know, place? And I prayed for 1,000 people 11 years ago. And I had an account, and I named my, I'm going to tell you my password. So we'll change all the accounts after church today. But my password was Life 1000. And every time I opened up one of our church accounts, I would type in Life 1000. As a declaration of what's to come. That was 11 years ago. So, woo, love it. Come on, people, clap for that stuff. That's amazing. That's a big deal. Hey, last Roaring 20s. We are in a new Roaring 20s. Decades become known for something, you know, like 80s music. You know, like that was the 80s, and the 1920s had its thing. And so we're in a new Roaring 20s. And out of Amos 3:7, it says, indeed, the sovereign Lord never does anything until he reveals his plans to the servants, the prophets. So God always speaks to his prophets as he's about to move. Verse 8 says, the lion has roared. The lion has roared for the roaring 20s. He is speaking. He says, who isn't frightened? In other words, we're not frightened. We're excited about the lion roaring. The sovereign Lord has spoken. Who can refuse to proclaim his message? God's roar is about boldness for a church to courageously and fearlessly step into the new year. And so I just want to pray that over you as we close this today, that God is roaring, and that roar should bring into your heart a courageous spirit to tackle all the things that God is saying into your life. And so if you want to have God's roar of your life, would you just stand up? I want to pray over you so that you can have a fearless step into the new year, a courageous step into the new year. I believe God is saying that you should seize the day, that you should step forward into your dream, that you should say yes to what God has for 2020. You should turn any challenge into an opportunity because you know God is roaring every year. You should break off fear, step fully in faith, rise and shine, set your goals, make your move, no regrets this year. Father, I pray that over this church. I pray that over every individual life that's here. God, I pray that 2020 would be a year where you roar and give us courage to step into all you have for our life. Lord, let every word that was spoken be your words, God, and let us identify with what you're saying so that we know how to run the race. In Jesus' name, amen, church. Amen. Come on, church. Come on.